Well, actually, yeah.
Red Roof Inn, free coffee.
Check.
You're good.
Good morning.
Good morning,
so,
sir.
So where's the coffee? Yeah. I was waiting to do the track for coffee, I mean the panel for coffee.
You're the one who always brings the coffee.
No, I said someone had to bring coffee. All right, who's going to go get me coffee? I've got money here somewhere. I can autograph another lime.
You really got $3 for that?
I got $3 for that, yeah. The wonders of alcohol. I have to sell more stuff around drunk people during alcohol. Johnny Egg's personal unwashed underwear with holes in it. I'm sure someone would buy it. All right, how much is a cup of regular
$4?
Big black? No, just regular coffee.
That's like $3.50.
For regular coffee.
It's like
$3.50.
It's up there. I mean, that's like almost as bad as getting one of those Starbucks double mint frappuccino whipped extra cream blah blah bullshit stuff.
Anywhere else in the world, right?
Yeah. Sure. What's another one of those? It's almost as bad as getting $3 for a lime.
Yeah. This is true. Yeah. Well, okay, yeah, I guess that's fair enough. Who wants to go get me $3 worth of coffee?
I'll get you a coffee.
I love you. If I was a woman, I would kiss you.
I hope not. My fiance would deck you.
All right, there you go. There
a couple
that.
Black coffee.
Yeah, put some sugar and cream in it too, please.
Black coffee with sugar and cream.
No, I just wanted to make it clear. I wanted the original stuff they handed over to be black coffee with nothing else in it they could charge me for.
Right.
Got to be clear about stuff like that. It's all about the specifics, the devil in the detail. So, okay, why the hell are you people here at 10 o'clock in the morning?
I watched sunrise from the top of the, from one of the roofs of one of the buildings around here.
Fair enough.
Yeah, most of us didn't go to bed.
Oh, okay, so you guys are still going. The evening is still going for you.
Yeah.
Okay. How did hacking 201 go after I left?
Pizza.
Cool, well, yeah, we saw the pizza boxes. I took pictures of the pizza boxes. I was not responsible for that big hole in the ceiling, by the way. Nothing. What? When you walk in front of the escalators, yeah, look up. There's this giant hole in the ceiling. That's why they got the cones around on the floor and things taped off. We came back from Architect at one point, and Charisse noticed, hey, there's water dripping out of the ceiling in the big hole, and you're about to walk right under the water. It's like, you're more alert than I am. Okay, I guess we should tell someone. So you realize that there's usually nothing at all accomplished during Hacking 301. It's just a bullshit session, right?
Yep.
Okay. So you know what you're getting for your money. So who got to see Architect? Not everyone. Who didn't get to see them? Who wanted to see them?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Did you get stuck in long line?
Yeah, I was allergic. I kept, as long as there were people drinking here, you know, it's like I see line, I did that.
What they were doing was cycling 200 people in and out at a time. Their show lasted about half an hour, I think.
I felt like the last session lasted a little bit more than half an hour.
It did last a little bit more than half an hour. In fact, I was sent in by some senior staff people to remind them that it was really way past 3:30 a.m. and they wanted to go to sleep.
When was it that they did kick us out? I have no clue.
Well, it was more like 4:30.
One night.
Oh, I've got one. I'm just trying to pop that out. Putting the magnets in here to hold this against the outside so we can do fun blinky stuff is fun, but magnets are just large enough that it's a pain in the ass to get them out, apparently, so I have to find slightly smaller magnets next time.
So is the frequency that it was playing at, is the wavelength of the sound that was making the length of the spark?
It's too fucking early to ask. I have no idea. Buy the t-shirt and build one. Yeah, that's my explanation.
The bigger one that they made and just bring it, like, as my costume?
Well, actually, those were the small ones. The big ones are in shipping containers on their way to the Netherlands for their European tour, which they're going on. immediately after they return from DragonCon. And yeah, it's going to be interesting getting it back next year because, you know, they saw a big crowd and people were really wanting them back, and that was the party event of DragonCon apparently. And we went on longer than any other official party apparently and still had people who wanted to stick around and come in. So yeah, Joe De Prima, the head architect, I was very, very pleased with that. He said, you know, you're going to have to do more than give us free tickets to get us in next year. Because, if DragonCon keeps us hanging the same way they did before, well, there's always Burning Man. So, yeah, we're competing with Burning Man for the return of Architect in 2009. But, I think that the pictures and the reports and everything will go a long way towards determining whether they get what they're looking for. So keep your fingers crossed. We'll see what happens. I would love to see them back with the bigger Tesla coils, because then they have all four running, and they're like, they're doing harmonies with each other, and I can't be ready to sneeze. Maybe not. Okay, maybe not.
I was sad that they didn't do the panel at 8:30 or whatever.
Well, we weren't even sure if they were still going to go on at that point, because the fire marshal went in, and they hadn't set up yet, but their show was described, and he said no. They were like, what? Like, come on. And not going to, kind of like, rain. Yeah, pretend like I'm the Rain Man here. Not going to do it. Not going to happen. No. And so they convinced him to at least allow them to set up so they can demonstrate to him that, yes, they did have proper safety precautions and that, you know, this was a real popular event with grade schools and that DragonCon could probably handle it. So, yeah, same deal with the liquid nitrogen ice cream.
I missed that.
No, well, that wasn't the fire marshal. There were some, I won't name names, but there were some people who simply heard the phrase liquid nitrogen, and it was associated.
It's liquid oxygen that you should.
I know, but you know, not. You know, I'm the science track. Some people just, you know, I forget that not everyone's a science geek, and some words can simply be scary even when they're not. So you know, the mere phrase liquid nitrogen, in conjunction with my name. It's suddenly like, no, seriously. It's like, wait a minute, what is this? And then we had to have some other senior DragonCon people explain, no, it's okay. This is done for children. It's a science experiment done for children at schools.
It's nitrogen in the crowd.
Yeah. 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 If you're going to let Gwar spray unknown substances all over an audience, I think you shouldn't have a problem with safely contained liquid nitrogen that we're actually not letting people play with and we're handling in proper manners. So, yeah. Yeah, but liquid oxygen, yeah, that would be fun, but that would have to be outside. And I certainly wouldn't be the one who was doing that. I'd be standing back with the camera set, you know, to zoom in from a distance.
Well, I was expecting some in the, like, quantum computing track.
But how did that one go? I'm going to have to listen to the recording on that one. Yeah, I hear a lot of stuff on my track was good. I wish I'd seen it.
So how do you do quantum computing without, like, super cool stuff?
Oh, well, actually, he was discussing how you would build a quantum computer. But essentially, actually, you can. Laser, using actually live laser beams.
Right. You can do that to cool stuff, like close eyes on quantum states.
Well, yeah.
Usually done that way.
About the only ones you can use without super cooling were involved lasers. Mm-hmm. Everything else pretty much either has to be super cooled or you need an NMR.
Where did the sharks come in?
Pardon?
Where do the sharks come in?
I was really hoping to go in and say you can build a simple quantum computer with, you know, like an egg roll and a microwave. And, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, I'll try to get MacGyver next time. We'll see what happens.
Observe it, you know, that's it. You got one answer, all the other problems are gone.
My personal theory is that, you know, we're all actually extremely detailed VR constructions in a hypercomputer somewhere, and, yeah.
It would be nice to know that this world is controlled by some rules.
Well, you know, statistically speaking, we probably are. So let me explain that. I thought this was kind of a bizarre thing, and yeah, it's just kind of playing with statistics and showing how you can make numbers prove anything, but... Okay, so let's say that the human race does not blow itself up and we expand first into the solar system and then the galaxy at large, and our species continues in some form or another for millions and millions of years, if not longer. So that means there's going to be a hell of a lot of people when you consider the total sum of all human beings who have ever lived. Assuming that we are not in a privileged position, that we had no special place amongst all of the people who have ever lived. If you take that assumption, well, hang on. Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to give the bad example first and then the maybe good example afterwards. So assume that we're average. We're about the 50% mark when you consider the total sum of all people who have ever lived. There's a lot more people alive now than there have ever been at any single point before, because for most of human history, and that goes back, yeah, like 70,000 years when the human population really was not more than 10 or 20,000 individuals. If we're at the 50% mark, then assuming population continues to grow at its current rate, the last 99.900% extinction point is going to be less than a century away. So statistically speaking, if we're average, the human race is going to be extinct in about a century. If we do not go extinct in a century and spread out into the galaxy, millions, billions, trillions, and even more individuals, then we are among the first 0.0000, however many zeros you want put in there, 1% of all people who have ever lived. And that's a very statistically unlikely place to be. Very unlikely. But the fact that we're here means that we either just happen to be among that teeny percentage of the first people who ever lived, or that we really aren't here, and the people who are privileged, who aren't privileged and are at the 50% point somewhere, have really advanced technology, and our universe is basically being modeled in a supercomputer somewhere. So yeah, statistically speaking, we're either going to be extinct in a century, or we're in a matrix-type environment. And yeah, let's hope we amuse or interest the people running the experiment enough that they don't turn it off. So lead interesting lives. I thought it was interesting.
It's just early.
If he ran off with my $3, I'm going to kill him.
We have no staff.
We can run amok. We can run amok. No, I...
Right. We no supervision.
I have to be the responsible one. I'm sorry.
Which group?
Yeah, pretty much.
You still got beer under the table?
A lot.
This is not beer.
Over here.
This is crap. This is like the McDonald's of alcohol. Oh, fuck yeah, there's some Guinness here. That's coming home with me. That, oh, I'm apparently in beer stains. Oh, here's the sheep.
The sheep, yeah.
Other than being molested by Alan, yeah, I don't see anything interesting that's been done with it.
Not inadvertently.
Old English. Okay, this is the last time I let this is the last time I put Rattle in charge of buying booze.
That's
either
booze that couldn't be consumed, or
what? Make some of the choices.
Put in two sugars and two more in case you wanted more sugar.
Bless you. Actually, I'm not going to take these home with me. Whoever wants them, here you go.
Probably a good idea.
Maybe for later.
Put the decent ones up here.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, the crap ones, we can leave the crap ones for the cleaning crew.
Oh my god. That's a hell of a lot of pee.
Yeah, they'll love us. Old English 800. Like I say, this is the last time I've... Oh, this is interesting.
That was a sheep.
Last time I let Randall go and be in charge.
What about the, two cases of Old E down there?
Huh?
Can you get some paper bags?
You actually want the Pabst or the Old English 800? Do you really want it? I mean...
Somebody wants Old English 800?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised I actually had to pay for that stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'll let you put those up there.
Oh, God.
Let's see here. So does anyone play with the really big, super strong, rare earth magnets?
Yeah.
Ow. No, really? How big? What was the largest one you played with?
About 4 inches in diameter.
Holy shit, those are the ones that, yeah, they have to fly them in special because it fucks with aircraft radar systems. Yeah. United Nuclear, right? That's where, United Nuclear, is that where you got it from?
No.
Well, okay, they may have gotten it from United Nuclear.
They manufactured them?
Yeah, this is the only place that Randall, of course, tipped me off to this. Randall Balleg, who is betrayed our trust and is out at Burning Man this year, the bastard. No, actually, he should bring... I'm quite curious to find out how his Burning Man experience goes.
Considering they had a dust storm wide out for the first couple days.
Oh, really? Oh, fun. Cool.
Over their face because they couldn't
breathe. Wow. Makes me really want to go.
Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously, I'm like, oh, hey, chaos, terror, fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Randall turned me on to United Nuclear, and they're the only place I've seen that sells the big ones. Was the one you were playing with either cubicle or a sphere? Or was it? Okay. They've got some big disc ones, but the biggest ones are the cubes or the spheres, and the largest ones come with all these warnings about, you know, it has to be shipped separately. You can't get the standard, you know, second day delivery on it because it has to be shipped carefully and delivered carefully, and yeah, it will interfere with aircraft radar systems, and it has to be couriered once it reaches its destination via plane to get to you, and warnings about make sure when you're carrying one, you plan your route carefully as you walk through a room because, you know, you'll destroy nearby monitors and TVs and erase hard drives, and things will fly at you very, very, very quickly if you get too close to smaller metallic objects. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Was this while it was in a electromagnetic superconducting state or not? No. Yeah, they do use them in nuclear magnetic resonance imagers and other things, medical labs, which is why you see the warning signs when you go in to have an MRI. NMI, whatever the fucking initials are, which I can't remember right now. I'm going to drink coffee for a second.
An MRI.
MRI.
It has an M and it has an R and it has an I in it, so there you go. But yeah, that's why they've got the warning signs out there about the, you know, extreme magnetic fields and no pacemakers and take off jewelry and stuff like that. There was a girl at Vanderbilt when I was DJing there who apparently forgot to take out her nipple rings.
Oh.
And yeah, and they fired it up and it went to electromagnet, one of these giant things, of course, when you turn into electromagnet superconducting, yeah, ripped the nipple rings out and they impacted, which with such force they had to do a helium dump, and it was $200,000, I think, to repair and resupply it with helium. So, yeah, not to mention the damaged nipples, and never know if those will work again or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, good thing she was in a hospital when that happened, eh?
I guess, yeah.
There was a...
Or were they steel?
I don't know, I just remember reading the police report, which I wasn't supposed to read because I wasn't working in the police department anymore at that time, but yeah, one of them, cop buddy said, you've got to read this one. And yeah, it's funny how they phrase stuff in the reports, because they have to be
accurate.
When cops are writing this stuff, they have to assume that at some point, for some of the more interesting ones, lawyers might be reading them, so they have to be very clinical in some of the descriptions, but sometimes they still manage to get stuff in there, like totally straight-faced. Complete dry wit. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there was one about a shoplifter that they had busted. And I remember the one phrase, Mr. Such and Such could not adequately, it was at a, like a 7-Eleven or something, Mr. Such and Such could not adequately explain how the, it was one of those wrapped up sandwiches that you microwave, you know, microwave 7-Eleven sandwich came to be in his pants. I just thought that was a funny phrase.
Yeah.
So, good one saying the box contained a green leafy substance having an odor similar to marijuana and a penis suction device.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, they have to say that with the drugs because until they actually test the drugs, then, you know, if they say otherwise, lawyers might try to weasel around that saying, oh, you thought it was craziness. I'll tell you something interesting about pot that I did not know. One of the reasons that I don't really do drugs anymore other than caffeine and the occasional drink, aside from the fact that I think most of the artificial stuff is, there's no quality control there, so you never know what you're getting. And I don't like taking those sorts of chances. And as far as the natural stuff goes, especially pot, I think people on pot are kind of boring and annoying. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Just remember you had change.
My mom went back to school a while back and got her master's and was running, she's retired, just retired, was running a clinic up in Nashville, basically for first-time drug offenders. And she would go to the county courthouse once a month, and they had a program there for the kids versus the adults, where she would do a presentation about things they don't tell you about marijuana. And one of the things that I didn't realize is that the stuff that's going around today, because it has been hydroponically grown and cultured and selected and basically evolved to have more, much more THC, is really almost an entirely different drug than what your folks or grand folks were smoking in the 60s. And yeah, that type of stuff may not have been particularly bad for you, but the stuff now, because of the super high THC content, can do really bizarre things to you, like screw up your testosterone and estrogen levels. And yes, men and women have both, just different levels of both. And I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. I was up in Nashville for the first part of this year. My mom was in an accident and broke her leg and needed me to basically chauffeur her around, a 64-year-old woman, chauffeur her around, run her side business, breeding dogs. And yes, I got to clean up dog shit from the kennel with 30 dogs in it twice a day for 6 months.
I did that.
Yeah, mainly little Toto dogs from The Wizard of Oz, Karen Terriers. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good gosh.
I like Karen Terriers. 30 of them. Anyway, so yeah, I would drive her to and from work and sometimes hang out there. She had to stay later and take her to the sessions she did at the courthouse for the judge and the cops and all that type stuff. And I shit you not, I saw guys in there who had been heavy pot smokers, and they had so screwed up their testosterone and estrogen levels that, yeah, the guys had tits and they were lactating. I mean, no shit. They were doing one of the group sessions, and one of the guys, I was hanging out in the lounge reading a book, and one of the guys had to go out, and he had these stains on the front of his shirt as he went to it from the bathroom. My mom told me later, yeah, they'd been sitting there in group, and the guy just started lactating. So, yeah. It kills your sex drive, shrink your balls. So, yeah, this kind of stuff. Yeah, I'd rather not, have shrunken balls and be lactating. You know, that's just me personally. So I can prefer. I don't see any reason to pay money to feel dizzy and stupid for a few hours, and have lactating boobs and small balls as a side effect. It just doesn't seem like a worthwhile exchange for me. I'm not getting value for my money. Although I guess you have to, smoke a fair amount. I I believe, to get to that state, but even casual use of the current stuff can be really bad. And the deposits it leaves in your fat, the material it leaves in the fat of your cells, your brain has a lot of fat. And people who are smoking those super powerful pot a lot these days are basically giving themselves premature Alzheimer's from all of the crap they're putting into their body fat, especially their brain, which you have a lot of fat in your brain, apparently. I didn't realize that.
Tobacco is going through similar changes.
Well, we know it's been manipulated to enhance the nicotine content to make it more addictive.
Like what my grandfather said, they used to put radioactive tracers in the cigarettes.
Yeah. I guess the moral is, if you're going to smoke pot, you know, cut it with some regular tobacco and you'll still get off. Just hopefully you'll delay or won't experience the
lactating tits, the shrinking balls, Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I does similarly bad stuff to women. I can't remember exactly what, because I was just focusing on, holy shit, lactating tits and shrinking balls. It's just, no, I'll pass on that. Sorry, not worth it. Yeah, kills sex drive in both men and women. So that's my don't do drugs message, I guess.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk I'd be
doing you, of all people, would be saying, no, 20 don't
years
do
ago,
drugs.
Who would think that I would be doing anti-drug messages? Yeah, craziness. What else?
Where did the Nashville 2600 meet?
The Nashville 2600? They've been meeting over at Vanderbilt for the last couple of years. They've got a room at Vanderbilt University in the, I believe it's the McGill building. Get on the sc2600.org mailing list, and they've got directions to it and also contact information. You can just post on the list and people will give you detailed info. Nashville.info list as well. Sad to say, the Atlanta group at one point was outdoing the Nashville group. The Nashville group does rather well, but the last year or so, there's usually only like 3, 4, maybe 6 people at the most showing up in Atlanta.
Where do they meet these
days? It's still at Lenox Mall. Yeah. And tried splitting it at one point so people who were more in the midtown, downtown area wouldn't have to schlep their way up to Lenox Mall, although, hello, MARTA. You know?
Yeah, it's not that far.
Lenox is not that big of a deal. There's MARTA.
Yeah,
but, you know, forking the meeting really kind of screwed up attendance, and now a lot of people who were going to one or another, simply because you never knew which one was going to have people at it, just kind of dropped out. So I'm hoping there'll be a resurgence again at some point. It won't die out entirely. If it does die out entirely, the DEFCON 404 group apparently really kicks ass. I haven't been in about a year. I need to make some more of those meetings before I move out of state, because they've got some hardcore tech people there. And the last time they had a swap meet giveaway, I missed out on some Cisco equipment that they were just giving away, one of the guys. So.
When is that meeting?
They have them once a month, too. I forget the particular date. It's actually on a Saturday, so it's easier to get to. It's someplace in and around Griffin, I believe. No, not Griffin. Okay, this is going to sound terrible. Please edit this out. But the kind of in barely inside, outside the perimeter, kind of straddling the line on the northeast side of Nashville that has a reputation for being where all the lesbians live.
Sandy Springs Dunwoody?
No, more around the clock. If
Sandy Springs Dunwoody is more north.
Decatur, thank you. That's it. Yeah, Decatur. They mean Decatur. Yeah, that's the description for Decatur that I heard upon moving to Atlanta. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Fairly accurate. Lived here for 10 years. We'll tell you so.
So I've been here since 2001. You'd think I'd know that too, although. I discovered that Atlanta, just because the traffic is so freaking bad, it's like actually a whole bunch of small, disconnected neighborhoods where you don't really talk to your neighbors outside your neighborhood that much.
Yeah.
I saw an online mention that Georgia Tech will be doing a bar camp in maybe end of September.
Who, what,
A bar camp? Okay.
Are you familiar with this?
Who? What? Not what? Go back. Who will be doing this?
Georgia Tech.
Oh.
Georgia Tech.
And what's a bar camp?
Okay. So apparently there's a food camp that O'Reilly does.
Okay.
But you have to be very elite to get to his party. So people do bar camps. That's a
okay.
Pretty much a bunch of open source. The last one that I went to at RD in Raleigh-Durham was lots of podcasting stuff seemed to be the topic du jour. But it was fun. Pretty much just bunches of people come and give presentations on whatever.
Who the hell came up with the word podcasting? I mean, podcasting, it's like, I mean,
based around the iPhone.
MP3, you know, that's what most of them were originally. Streaming audio, recorded show, pre-recorded digital audio, yeah.
Well,
podcasting?
It doesn't start with real audio, but, or no, CUCV.
Yeah. Silly word. Yeah, it could be.
That's just one of
Apple.
Those.
Apple spent millions of dollars to spread that meme to hype more iPods. Well, yeah, I guess we have people who are outside this room in conventions. Some of them might think that.
A lot of them think that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of them.
Micro Center. The other day, prices have dropped on the USB drives again, and they're selling the 1 gigers for like $4, the 2 gigers for $5 or $6, the 4 gigers are under $10, so on and so forth. They've got a 32 gig one. I think they had a 64 gig one, and whatever the largest one was, it was under $100.
Where is this?
Micro Center.
Micro Center. There's one up in Duluth, and
what is Micro Center?
Oh, it's a computer store. It was the computer store until Fry's moved in. But despite Fry's, they're still doing really good business, so.
Yeah.
Is Fry's here as good as the ones out west?
I've never been to the ones out west, but all I know is it's really big and I need a map when I go in there to figure out what's where.
Do they have a cafe inside
of
the
west?
Yeah. Tesla coils?
No, Tesla no Tesla coils. No Tesla coils. Grand Prix.
Tesla coils.
Yeah.
So everybody's got a Tesla coil these days, but do they sing?
Yeah.
Ooh, now that would be the next step beyond the singing Tesla coils. Dancing Tesla coils. It's got the picture of these Tesla coils on tap dancing feet going. It's arms in the top end.
Dancing Tesla coils
seems
somewhat hazardous.
Maybe we could just limit ourselves to a web page, kind of like the hamster dance, the Tesla coil dance. I haven't seen one of those in a while. Let's see, what was there? It was a hamster dance, there was Jesus dance, there was the penis dance, there was the Cthulhu dance. I don't remember what the other ones were.
There's the Old English dance. I'd suggest you participate in the Old English dance.
And what was...
Now they're just all on You're the Man Now, dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
They'll have
their
own sides.
Oh.
Sad. All right, someone else make a comment that will carry the conversation for another few minutes.
Could you build a cell phone camera? Can you get one from Israel these days?
I imagine.
You can build one. The FCC might come knocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't particularly care about what else you jam besides cell phones, I mean, you can build a simple, powerful, wideband oscillator that would mess with all sorts of stuff.
Build a Tesla coil.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of webpages out there right now that'll show you step by step what you need to do to build a simple.
Yeah,
so
you can get everything you need at Radio Shack.
Pretty much.
Radio Shack. Well, the equivalent there. Radio Shack. You can still get components there, but it's not.
Fry's would be better.
I don't know. Fry's prices on individual components are a little bit high, but then again,
Radio Shack's probably.
Well, yeah. Well, it depends. Sometimes I found Fry's is weird. Sometimes the prices I found there are ludicrously higher than other similar places, and other times, and this is the good thing about them, they have these unannounced sales that they just do for a few days, and you go in and it's like, oh my god, 500 gig SATA drive for, you know, $79.
The problem is that you need to get up to maybe 1.5 gigahertz now.
Yeah.
To do that, you either have to have nice PCB or like solder the components directly to each other. You can't do any like breadboard that you don't have to solder.
Breadboard.
That won't work. You can do perfect board.
Wasn't this supposed to be about hacking? It just seems like random.
That's hacking.
This is hacking 301. This is the survivors of hacking 201 who are either hungover, haven't gone to sleep yet, or really wish they were still asleep, and we're just kind of rambling. Yeah.
Darn housekeeping.
Yeah.
Well, you guys got all your
cell phones. Yeah, that's basic hacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to new to DragonCon, or at least the hacking panels? Okay, Hacking 101 is kind of like the, okay, this is the one for newbies, and we explain hacking does not equal criminal activities. Hacking.
I know that.
Yeah, okay. Hacking
cell phone numbers too.
Well, that's the level we put Hacking 101 on.
Like, that's precious to the guys.
I was going to go to the Hacking 201, but the party that I was at went a lot later than I thought it was.
Welcome to DragonCon.
How late did it go?
Well, my mom wouldn't let me stay past
11:15. I'm sorry, I remember.
It was still going on.
How old are you?
I'm 14.
I remember that, man. I remember. Okay. It gets better in a few years. But you know, remember, your parents have your best interests at heart, so, you know.
And they're criminally responsible.
Yeah, as long as you don't get something permanent on your record, as long as they're not bailing you out of jail, as long as you don't have to go to Tubi, as long as you don't wind up in a hospital, they're usually going to be pretty forgiving of any stupid shit you do. And you're a 14-year-old guy, so you got to do some pretty stupid shit over the next couple of years. Just accept it. That's the way it goes.
My sister's a stoner.
Did you hear the
I'm paying attention.
Get in touch with me afterwards. My mom's supposed to be sending me an MP3 of her talk, and I'll be more than happy to put it online somewhere where your sister can listen to it.
I'm not sure about if you guys know about this, but at least in Atlanta, Georgia, if the kid shows up intoxicated in a public place, the parents can be arrested. So that's something just to keep in mind, not to keep yourself out of jail, but to keep your parents out of jail.
I'm from New Orleans.
Okay. Well, you know, the drinking age is what, in like, what, 16 there?
Is it still there?
What's going on with New Orleans right now?
Yes, it's still there. It's not the lost city of New Orleans.
No, actually, I hadn't heard anything. Within about 24 hours, I was kind of worried about
it.
No, it started hitting.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think
it made landfall. What was the strength?
I think it was 3 right now.
Yeah, it was just a category 3.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty bad still.
We came for the artist entertainment. I got everything signed by them.
How many lines did you have to wait in?
Yeah.
None.
Really? Wow.
How'd you do that?
And
preface.
The weird thing is that they have like double the amount of unique viewers monthly of RuneScape, and yet no one pretty much knows about them.
Okay.
So who were you here to see mainly?
The Artist Entertainment team.
Okay. Which team?
Like Artist Entertainment.
Artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard artists. Okay.
I said artists.
Yeah. With a T.
Artists. R-A-R-T-I-S.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you can tell your sister, by the way, that, if she abuses pot, that it'll kill her sex drive and it'll keep her tits really small.
Give her chest hair.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, tell her to give her chest hair. Yeah.
If her testosterone gets out of whack, she'll get this very nice, fine mustache. And, that's not supposed to happen for women until they're, 50? So,
if she does get the mustache, there's always the 51.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 64, shouldn't have one.
Oh, that's a good thing. Yeah.
What do you think about the Google phone operating system that's coming out? Android.
I don't know. That's the first I've heard about it. Tell me a little bit more about it. Is it going to be like the rest of their applications where it's basically a data miner?
The Android is an open operating system. AFI can develop programs for Android, and it doesn't have to go through the same Q&A that the Apple programs go through for the iPhone.
Well, that's cool. I mean, Google, of course, they do some good stuff. It's just that a lot of their free stuff and applications are also data miners.
Yeah.
And, right now, as far as we know, they're not doing anything evil with it, but, it's a public corporation now. That can change. So, Yeah, it may come back to bite us all in the ass 20 years from now. Use crypto.
HTC Dream is going to be the first phone that comes out. It's going to be cured by T-Mobile, and it goes on sale September 17th.
How much?
There's been rumors $150 and a two-year contract with T-Mobile.
Okay, I'm kind of unusual amongst a lot of computer geeks and the techno-fetish crowd. I don't like cell phones or pagers, and I don't like all the extra features on them. I have this
chain. Cell phone.
I just want it to dial.
It is
you know,
a waste that
you
have color displays.
That's, yeah. All I want is numbers displayed, and I want it to dial, and I want a real simple, yeah, maybe I could replace it with a MIDI ringtone, and that's it. That's all I want. I don't want anything else. I don't want a camera. I don't want a crappy camera in it. I don't want to play games on it. I don't want to watch videos on it. I don't want any other features on it to further distract people while they're driving.
But you know, like there's something else too. The ones with the GPS in them, and also the Garmin GPS in the cars, they've actually been using them in police cases to prove that the suspect's alibis were false and that they were actually
Yeah, it's you know, another, this is bad enough that they can tell what roughly area you've been in by which towers have been talking to your cell phone.
There's pros and cons, but okay, in my situation, I carry multiple devices around with me wherever I go. So having one device that provides my internet connectivity, my email, my GPS.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, but my main thing is there are times when I don't want certain people or perhaps anyone to be able to reach me, you know, especially work, after I leave work. One of the interesting things I can say about Google is that while I was there, it was much more like a lifestyle that was being adopted than a job. They really quietly worked to completely erase the barriers between your work and your personal life. And yeah, it sounds good. Work at your own pace. If you need to, take a nap, and this is out in the Googleplex out west. But as far as I know, we didn't have nap rooms here in Atlanta. I don't know what they've done in the last couple of years. There was an internal memo that went around at one point that said the nap rooms are for people who are sleeping. Please stop having sex in them. it sounds great. Very relaxed environment. 20% of the time you're going to spend working on your own projects. If you need to take off for an hour or two, run errands of the sort that we can't already do for you at the Googleplex, not a problem. Just, make sure you're getting your 8 hours a day in. And the thing that happens is that after a while, because everyone else is on the relaxed schedule and you're doing your work in these hour two, maybe 3 hour bursts and spurts, and then you're screwing around for a while, you're spending 10 to 12 hours at work every day doing stuff for Google. And that 20% your own project, something unrelated to your current job that you're working on, well, Google owns that. And you get in the mindset, you get home, the first thing you do is you power up and you log in and you see what's been going across the internal Google mailing list since you left work. And you're at home on the weekend, and if you're not going out clubbing or something or to a movie, you're watching the tube, you pull over the laptop, and let's see what's going on at Google while I'm watching that. I'll go ahead and take care of this job right now. While the movie's going on, I won't have to deal with it later on. So, I went back and figured it out, and towards the end, I was spending 60 to 70 hours a week working for Google. They organize a lot of social events amongst their employees, too, and you may have heard the phrase or saying, he's disappeared into the Google black hole, which is really kind of true. They're very secretive. You spend a lot of time around your coworkers, and you go to a lot of social events that are organized by Google, and the engineering department tends to be primarily male, and the advertising department tends to be primarily female. So there you go.
What did you do for them?
I worked in hardware operations and did data center build out and cluster maintenance. Also did some basic networking for them, kind of like, okay, here's the crate with the $1 million, can't name the brand, router in it. You know, pop open the crate, put the cards in, you know, power it up. Got, you know, it's got three different power supplies in it. Make sure they're all hooked up to different buses and configure the thing so it's reachable by network operations, and then start cabling the thing up. So, yeah, that was the fun with the networking stuff. I'm trying to think what I can say. I can say they don't have a whole lot of Cisco stuff because that's known. And they have a fair amount of Juniper stuff, and I was working on some Cisco certifications at the time, and I'll probably go ahead and finish them up, but goddamn, Juniper. I love Juniper stuff.
Like the NAS screens and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. The NAS screens?
Not even NAS screens, so it's just the routers. The fact that, I mean, people, you know a little bit of Cisco stuff, a little bit of networking stuff. Okay, good, good. The one of the things that really distinguishes Juniper, and this has got to be my gushing Juniper fanboy talk, from Cisco, is that a lot of Cisco stuff is kludge on top of bug fix on top of hack, and that's like 10, 15 years worth of that stuff, depending on which system you get. You got to get each particular iOS for each particular type of machine that you're getting. If you've got a 2612, your iOS for that's not going to work on a 2800 series router, and vice versa. And even within the main series, you could have a 28XX series switch, and the Cat OS for that would not work on a 28YY series switch. So yeah, and
well, the hardware is probably like different switching made for.
Yeah, but
because all this switching is done in hardware.
Yeah, but you know, the product line is so scattered and convoluted, and the feature sets are so weird, and there are all these weird bugs and inconsistencies. Yeah, yeah, and you know, the Cisco networking guys, and I've noticed, and I've done a little bit of this myself. You find a configuration that's stable, and you don't touch it. You don't breathe on it. You don't look at it sideways. It's like that scene out of Spinal Tap where Nigel's talking about his guitar. So, don't look at it. You know, just don't even. It's, you know, that's the guitar. I've never touched it. I've never played it. You can't even look at it. Let's go over here, because they're afraid that, you know, the slightest thing you do to it is going to make the router go spaz out, and you're going to spend the next 20 hours trying to figure out what the hell the problem is and where's the patch for the bug fix for the hot fix that you have to put on top of this to make it stable again. Which really sucks in a live production environment, which is why, yeah, you really want to do this stuff at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday and make sure you can roll back very quickly if you have to.
Now, I understand why you like Juniper so much, because of the operating system that runs on it.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a company called ImageStream?
I have not.
Okay, my company actually uses nothing but ImageStream routers, and all it is a 2.6 Linux kernel running completely open source. Programs.
Let me get to, okay, I'll look that up. ImageStream, one word?
Yep.
Okay, I'll
I'm
look that up.
I'm actually going out for my ImageStream network engineer certification in October.
Another interesting one to add. Actually,
what's the router, software or hardware?
it's hardware. And it runs a generic 2.6 kernel with your normal tools, Zebra, Gatsby, IP tables.
Okay, so that sounds like more software-based routing and
well, ImageStream.com.
It's be handled at the OS level.
ImageStream.com?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not putting out like enterprise routers or edge routers, are they? Yeah. So, yeah, the thing I discovered playing with the Juniper routers is the JunOS is basically a modified and extended version of FreeBSD. And the core of all the Juniper routers is just plain old x86 hardware. So if you've got a JunOS image, you can get a machine that's as ancient and clunky enough as a P2 with 128 meg of RAM and, say, a 40 or to 100 gig hard drive. That's the absolute minimum. I would recommend a little bit higher stuff. Load FreeBSD on it, load a JunOS on top of that. When it reboots, it comes up thinking it's J40 router, which goes anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000, depending on what sort of options you get for it. And there are a number of different types of network cards you can get that are pretty standard. You have to go for a couple of different chipsets, but you can route packets. So you can build a Juniper routing lab from throwaway PC hardware. And if you don't know FreeBSD or BSD at all, it's a great way to learn. And yeah, cool stuff. I like it. It's very stable. And one JunOS image will work on anything from their lowest, cheapest router up to the $1 million enterprise level router.
The coolest thing about Juniper is all that we've experienced, that we do too, where I work. And it's a system where they actually have technical support.
Yes.
Like, you can call them and they will help you and not tell you it's your fault.
There's another advantage to Juniper too. How many of you have heard about Mike Lynn and his Cisco hack, Cisco Lynn? Or Cisco Mike, rather? Yeah, Mike was... Mike is one of the few people I would say, okay, yeah, goddamn, that guy deserves the title hacker. Back in 2005, he demonstrated live at Black Hat. This was, I believe, the keynote talk for Black Hat 2005. Yeah, the holy grail remote code execution on Cisco routers. And he demonstrated it. And... his main concern, I'm trying to think again exactly what he said publicly, because I know some stuff that's not public that I don't want to. Yeah, okay. Go read the Wired interview article with him. There are actually a couple of them that are really good, describe the problem that he discovered and the kind of dance and denial that went around it. And basically, his concern was someone coming up with what is essentially a router virus. Now, think about that. With a, say, Windows Server virus, you kind of have to spaz around and find where your friends are to connect to it. Router virus, routing table, you know exactly where to go from there. So, yeah, and one thing about the really high-level Cisco routers, which I think is kind of stupid, the router equivalent of the BIOS, that you use to recover from or monitor, you know, type stuff. Yeah, that's firmware. You can write to it. You can upgrade it. Well, if you've got a really evil router virus, you're going to hit your router. You're going to figure out where all the neighbors are. You're going to infect them immediately. And the last thing you're going to do to the router you've just infected is that after you're sure all the neighbors are infected, you may want to wait a little bit so you can still pass traffic back and forth between the increasingly infected routers, is you overwrite that little EEPROM with garbage and then tell the router to reboot. And suddenly 90% of the internet is gone in about 15 minutes. And think about that. You have to replace hardware to get this stuff working again. And the internet is, except for some disconnected segments, is gone. And FedEx, UPS, DHS, all the rest of them, you know, how are they going to do their tracking and shipping? Because, you know, a lot of that information is passed back and forth between. How are a lot of places going to do tracking and shipping and inventory, including, like, grocery stores? There's a lot of phone stuff. There's a lot of banking stuff that goes over the internet, and not necessarily the public internet, but through VPNs. But still, if, you know, all the places that you're supposed to connect to are down, yeah, it could be a pretty bad situation. There are some places, yeah, the core places would probably be up again within a few days at the most, but there are parts of the net that may not come back up for months. So, yeah.
The last couple of Black Hats, there's been, just like the Cisco, where Cisco sued the guy. Well, this last one, some MIT students got sued and issued a gag order. Why do these presenters list what they're going to talk about if they know that they're going to get sued, or if it's a very...
Well, when Mike, okay, I can tell you what happened with Mike. I don't know about the rest of them. When Mike discovered this, he started working on this, I think, in January of 2005. He got interested in Cisco routers because we picked up some cheap ones at the flea market thing they have up in the Marietta Civic Center out by the Air Force Base up there, about every 6 weeks. And he'd never really played with them before, and so... You know, he's a hacker. He wants to figure out how iOS works, and he wants to figure out how to break it, because he was also working at ISS at the time. And his comment to me was, yeah, you work in the computer security field. It's a lot of like in a lot of ways, it's like being in the mafia. It's like, yeah, I found this vulnerability with your product, and sure would be a shame if it got out there in the wild. You want to pay us for the description and the fix? So, yeah. So he was playing around with iOS, reverse engineering, figuring out how it worked. And the scary thing is, and he said this in interviews too, I had been collecting Junos images at the time, and so I was going to, theoretically, maybe, possibly, if I were so inclined, I would have been going to a lot of Chinese pirate sites to download my Junos images if I was, you know, inclined to do such a thing, which of course I'm not at all. Gave this information to Mike, and he was poking around too, and from what he found, there were a lot of very well organized and seemingly very well funded groups, in hacker groups in China, that were also pursuing the same thing that he was, i.e. a router virus, specifically a Cisco type router virus. And he found this, he was thought the implications through, and was like, damn, that's bad, that could be really bad, this needs to be fixed. And so they did what they usually do when you discover a zero-day exploit in this situation. They get in touch with the vendor and they coordinate with them, and they had a fix out for the particular instance that Mike had discovered, and they were gonna send someone out to co-present with Mike at Black Hat. And then 2 days, I think 3 days before Black Hat, someone further upstairs figured out, oh, this could be a PR nightmare, or lawyers got involved, or someone went, oh my God, we can't do this. And that's when the lawsuits and the threats and everything started flying, and that's why they had the people out at Black Hat that Cisco hired ripping pages out of the books and destroying the CDs. And yeah, okay, let's think about how stupid that is. They think, okay, we're gonna keep this from spreading by telling Black Hat that they have to let us rip the stuff out of the presentation booklets and they have to reburn new CDs. Well, gee, you know, all the masters for that stuff, the main DVD image, all of the page layout stuff, how many different hands has that gone through? So, you know, you're not getting rid of the source material that people have that can be spread electronically. And to make things even worse, which is why I guess if you're employing people to try to suppress information like this, you shouldn't pay a minimum wage. They tore the pages out of the books, and they just dropped the CDs in the garbage bags without breaking them, and dropped the garbage bags out by the dumpster. Unshredded, unbroken, yeah. And of course, there were all of the books and CDs / DVDs that had gone out to people beforehand who were associated with Black Hat, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, the end result of all that is that Juniper wound up hiring Mike, and they paid him pretty much to go through and audit all of their code because they didn't want to have vulnerabilities like he found in Cisco. And so he's been very, very happy and made a very good living out in San Francisco doing that.
This year, a couple of MIT students were gagged because they found a flaw with the Boston Transit System.
Mm.
Kind of basically brute force an attack and get free transit.
I don't know, man. Really suppressing this type of information never works, and all it does is piss people off more and make them determined to spread the information. So you're just making the problem worse, and that seems to happen in every single case that I've heard of or know about. So, you know, why the hell do they still do it?
I think open standards are the only way to have security.
Yeah, but then you know, you're coming up against the muddied interests there, and particularly... Yeah. The booze is up on top here.
Hmm?
Are you looking for the booze that was under? Yeah, it's all up on top here.
No, it's not.
The good stuff's already been taken.
Okay. As long as it was taken by an adult, that's fine with me.
Everyone here is of legal drinking age in the state of Georgia, right? Say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Except you, and I know that you don't have any booze on you, so we're good. So... Oh, yeah, the answer, yeah, and if you come to Hacking 201 next year, that's one of the standard questions we ask. Everyone here is of legal drinking age in the state of Georgia, correct? And everyone shouts yes. Theoretically, that's going to relieve us of some kind of responsibility, although in reality, probably not. But then again, we can always claim, look, we were drunk and irresponsible, so. We should have been supervised.
Hacking 201, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Mom can come.
Yeah, bring Mom.
Mom, the ring.
Yes. Or the audio archive of all of the EFF stuff.
Oh, DragonCon
EFL.
I'm going to try to rebuild that. It's still on a server, but it's inaccessible because somebody else who's no longer with us didn't renew the domain name. So I got a new domain name.
But you still have access to all the material, correct?
It's all still there.
Okay.
What's the new one going to be?
EFForums.net.
Hmm. It'll be linked off the main DragonCon site.
The first thing that'll get posted will be this year. So.
EFForums?
EFForums.net. I should probably
think about that. Yeah, that'd be good. Same deal with the Space and Science Track stuff. We had moved about this time last year. Rain, the woman who runs Space Track, and I had moved into a new place, and we kind of like lost the recordings. Weren't sure where they were, and found them again recently, so I'm slowly putting all of the recordings for the last, I guess, 5 years worth of Space and Science Track stuff online. MadScientist.org.uk. Again, it's linked off the main DragonCon site.
I heard the little comment about how some guy in the UK got the...
Yeah, I mean, I thought of this at work, and I was like, cool, it's available. I can't, you know, get it here, but I'll do it when I go home at the end of the day. And 6 hours later, it's gone. And, you know, the guy in the UK has never once responded to email. So, yeah, you know, just for shits and grins every now and then, I'll check and see... what the current contact information is for the guy who owns that domain, email contact information. I post that around to various places where he'll get a lot of spam from it. So, dude, if you ever hear this, I mean, seriously, still, I'm willing to trade and pay for your registration and DNS stuff for quite some time. You know. Whatever.
Does he even have a website up there?
No. There's nothing there. Yeah.
Name's Flying Flying. Could have been a bot.
Whenever you looked it up or whatever, there could have been like a tracker on the page. This was way back in like, I was still living up in Tennessee at the time, 98 or 99. Oh. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Next question or comment or something.
The hurricane was only Category 2
landed. So. Nice. We heard 3, so who's lying?
The rest of them apparently.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you believe everything you read on the interweb?
It's a series of tubes.
And we don't want them jammed.
It's just one big tube.
It's just one tube.
No, it's like a plumber. It's a series of tubes.
And all that new media.
See, it's clogging up the tubes. And that's why we've got to rate limit everything, because we don't want our tubes clogged.
That's all your accent. Wow. Scary. That's not hate the school that I'm at.
You're a 14-year-old kid. Of course you hate the school.
No, what I'm saying is I actually hate the school. Like, the past couple of years, I actually kind of like the school. Now I hate the new school I'm at.
It's called puberty. No, seriously, you know, I used to, you know, I liked the school that I was at, and 10, 11, 12 years of old, and then all of a sudden the hormones kick in, and you know, you become angry, rebellious youth, and I hated it. So. Yeah, that happened to me too. Yeah, but yeah, no, it doesn't matter where you are, you'd hate it still. Just trust, yeah, trust me, a voice of experience. Does anyone here disagree with me? You're 14 years old, you hate school. Trust us.
I missed the talk on net neutrality, but what do you think about the 250 gig cap that Comcast is imposing on all customers October 1st?
Yeah, I think unless they raise that, it's going to bite them in the ass. In another year or two, possibly, and think about streaming media, especially video.
I think it already bite them in the ass now because of the way voice over IP is and streaming HD content, Netflix.
That's going to turn out well.
Well, I mean, they already tried it with the BitTorrent. They're actually proxying the application and bombing it, so there was such a pushback from that. The FCC actually told them they couldn't. So.
Yeah, well, you know, they were lying to their customers about that, too.
Right.
And
no, we're definitely not doing that. Definitely not.
Yes, sir.
I live out real rural Virginia, and I can't get anything but satellite, and it sucks.
Wow.
And we got a big community, a spiritual community, and there's about 250 of us. And I'm very interested in this co-op idea of internet, and I don't know anything. Please expand. How can I start a co-op? Resources I can start to get more information to get something going. I know a T1, we got a T1 to the main place, and it cost about $700.
Yeah.
And
start small. Don't go into debt. You know, try to be business smart when you're doing this, and expand and try to make the best use you can of your resources. I know that's, you know, common sense business type stuff. But
do I have to start with T1 or?
No. I mean, you can get fractional T's, but you're going to want someone who knows networking a little bit to figure out what type pipe you need initially, and then once you get that initial pipe there, wireless and Wi-Fi everywhere. Yeah, try to do as little actual physical cable as you possibly have to.
One more quick question about the new wireless, that new spectrum. What do you know about that? I'm interested.
I'm the wrong person to talk to about that. I mean, I'm more of, yeah, okay, I know enough to make a living on and off doing tech IT stuff, but I'm really more of the social engineer kind of hacker type person. I'm not the technical genius.
I
like it. But, you know, the downside is I can't answer the dude's question. I would say, yeah, I know there are Linux users groups, and there's probably a 2600 and a DEF CON group in your area. Get on those mailing lists and start asking questions. Hell, talk to ham radio people out in your area, too. There's an increasing amount of interaction between the ham radio people and the computer people since most of the radios are...
Hey, Johnny,
Five minutes.
Okay. As far as research on the spectrum and... any sort of changes in the FCC's spectrum licensing, a good resource is the ARRL, Amateur Radio Relay League. That is the organization of ham radio operators. It's a very good group. The FCC has pretty much turned over all the certifications,
testing
certification for new ham radio operators to the ARRL, and ham radio operators are a pretty good self-policing bunch, and they're all about the sharing of information and do a lot of research on anything that could possibly impact on their portion of the band, of the radio band, when broadband over BPL, broadband over power lines, was in discussion, there was some severe pushback from the ham radio sector, and that was a big factor in getting BPL stopped.
I have a closing comment, I guess, for our 14-year-old pal here. High school sucks. The next couple of years, you're probably going to hate if you're anything like average, and you probably aren't because you're here. So you're probably going to be smarter than most of the people you're going to be going to high school with. And high school today, oh my God, I wouldn't have made it through all of the bullshit that's going on today.
I've been having most of the bullshit since first grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But college more than makes up for it. So, you know, keep focused on the get out of high school is like weed out. And you survive high school and college is your reward. So keep focused on that. You know, have fun, but try not to trash your grades too much. Because really, they will help you getting into a good college. And the people who are going to consider high school the best days of their lives, when you go back to your 20th high school reunion, they're going to be the fat, boring dipshits. So, yeah. I speak from experience. 20th high school reunion was not too long ago, and oh, wow.
Yeah.
High school drama is about as important as IRC drama. Seriously.
Nothing is as important as you think it is. Just take a step back. Take a step back.
Just fire screws.
Yeah.
Just start the record button. I'll be over there in a minute. The guest. Oh, okay. I'll be over there. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
I don't know whether.
Oh, freshman year in college, don't go berserk, don't become a pothead or an alcoholic and flunk out. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, just moderation,
really
dude.
Easy
and
make sure
moderation.
Study.
Study. Study a lot.
Make sure you study. I didn't.
Are you going to the 22nd?
Yes.